things that made the modern economy.
Nearly 20 years ago, poor families in Coahuila State in Mexico were offered an unusual handout from a social program called Piso Firme. It wasn't a place at school, a vaccination, corn for tortillas, or even money. It was $150 worth of ready-mixed concrete.
Hogares en México no tienen piso de concreto. Por eso el gobierno federal puso en marcha el proyecto Piso Firme. Así, las familias que más
necesitan. Workers would drive concrete mixers through poor neighborhoods, stop outside the home of the needy family that were waiting for them, and pour out the porridge-like mixture through the door right into the living room. Then they'd show the occupants how to spread and smooth the gloop and make sure they knew how long to leave it to dry. And then off they'd drive to the next appointment with the next family. Piso firme means firm floor. And when economists studied the program, they found that the ready-mixed concrete dramatically improved children's education. How so? Previously, the floors were made of dirt. Parasitic worms thrive in dirt, spreading diseases that stunt kids' growth and make them miss school. Concrete floors are much easier to keep clean, so the kids were healthier and their test scores improved. And parents in the program's households became happier, less stressed, and less prone to depression. That seems to be $150 well spent. Beyond the poor neighborhoods of Coahuila State, concrete often has a less wonderful reputation. It's a byword for ecological carelessness. Concrete is made of sand, water, and cement. And cement takes a lot of energy to produce. The production process also releases carbon dioxide, a greenhouse gas. That might not be such a problem in itself. After all, steel production needs a lot more energy. Except that the world consumes absolutely vast quantities of concrete, 5 tons per person per year. As a result, the cement industry emits as much greenhouse gas as aviation. Architecturally, concrete implies lazy, soulless structures. Yet it can also be shaped into beautiful forms. Think of the Sydney Opera House or Oscar Niemeyer's Cathedral in Brasilia. Perhaps it's no surprise that concrete can evoke such confusing emotions. The very nature of the stuff feels hard to pin down. Is it stone? Yes and no, opined the great American architect Frank Lloyd Wright in 1927. He continued, is it plaster? Yes and no. Is it brick or tile? Yes and no. Is it cast iron? Yes and no. That it's a great building material, however, has been recognised for millennia, perhaps even since the dawn of human civilization. There's a theory that the very first settlements, the first time that humans gathered together outside their kinship groups, nearly 12,000 years ago at Göbekli Tepe in southern Turkey, that was because someone had figured out how to make cement, and therefore concrete. It was certainly being used over 8,000 years ago by desert traders to make secret underground cisterns. Some of these cisterns still exist in modern-day Jordan and Syria. The Romans were serious about the stuff. Using a naturally occurring cement from volcanic ash deposits at Puteoli, near Pompeii and Mount Vesuvius, they built their aqueducts and their bathhouses with concrete. Walk into the Pantheon in Rome, a building that will soon celebrate its 1900th birthday. Gaze up at what was the largest dome on the planet for centuries, arguably until 1881. You're looking at concrete. It's shockingly modern. Many Roman brick buildings are long gone, but not because the bricks themselves have decayed. They've been deconstructed, cannibalized for parts. Roman bricks can be used to make modern buildings. But the concrete Pantheon? One of the reasons it's survived for so long is because the solid concrete structure is absolutely useless for any other purpose. Bricks can be reused. Concrete can't. It can only be reduced to rubble. And the chances of it becoming rubble depend on how well it's made. Bad concrete, too much sand, too little cement, is a death trap in an earthquake. But well-made concrete is waterproof, stormproof, fireproof, strong, and cheap. That's the fundamental contradiction of concrete. Incredibly flexible when you're making something, utterly inflexible once it's made. In the hands of an architect or a structural engineer, concrete is a remarkable material. You can pour it into a mould, set it to be slim and stiff and strong in almost any shape you like. It can be dyed or grey. It can be rough or polished smooth like marble. But the moment the building is finished, the flexibility ends. Cured concrete is a stubborn, unyielding material. In a million years, when our steel has rusted and our wood has rotted, there's at least a chance that our concrete creations will remain. But many of the concrete structures we're building today will be useless within decades. That's because over a century ago, there was a revolutionary improvement in concrete, but it's an improvement with a fatal flaw. In 1867, a French gardener, Joseph Monnier, was unsatisfied with the available range of flower pots. He came up with the idea of making concrete pots, reinforced with a steel mesh. Less than 20 years later, the elegant idea of pre-stressing the steel was patented. This allowed engineers to use much less of it and less concrete too. And it works as well as ever 130 years later. Reinforced concrete is much stronger and more practical than the unreinforced stuff. It can span larger gaps, allowing concrete to soar in the form of bridges and skyscrapers. But here's the problem. If cheaply made, it will rot from the inside as water gradually seeps in through tiny cracks and rusts the steel. This process is currently destroying infrastructure across the United States. In 20 or 30 years' time, China will be next. China has poured more concrete in the 3 years after 2008 than the United States poured during the entire 20th century. And nobody thinks all that concrete is made to exacting standards. There are many schemes to make concrete last for longer, including special treatments to prevent water getting through to the steel. There's self-healing concrete full of bacteria that secrete limestone, which reseals any cracks. And self-cleaning concrete infused with titanium dioxide breaks down smog, keeping the concrete sparkling white. Improved versions of the technology may even give us street surfaces that clean up what's coming out of car exhausts. There are also efforts to figure out ways to reduce energy use and carbon emissions in making concrete. Yet ultimately, there are many more things we could be doing with the simple, trusted technology we have already. Hundreds of millions of people around the world live in dirt floor houses. That's hundreds of millions whose lives could be improved with a program like Piso Firme. Other studies have shown large gains from laying concrete roads in rural Bangladesh, improving school attendance, agricultural productivity, and the wages of farm workers. Perhaps concrete serves us best when we use it simply.
We found out about Piso Firme from Paving Paradise, an article by Charles Kenny in the journal Foreign Policy. For a full list of our sources, please see bbcworldservice.com/50things.